I don't meet with those guys till after this meeting. I know Evan and Alan went to a MRI this morning, but I haven't met with Peduzzi and Dr. DeLuca since yesterday, immediately after the game. So until we get that stuff back, I don't have any information to elaborate that they're out right now. So.
You have anything on Matt Tobin? How he's doing?
Yeah, Matt's progressed. I don't know exactly where he is. Those guys were in for he was in for treatment today because he's on the treatment list. So, but I don't know exactly when he's due back. You know, hopefully shortly here. So.
But in general, then, how tough a predicament are you facing? Looks like you have six healthy O linemen.
So we'll figure it out when we get there. You know, that's the same thing for me to sit here and say it's going to be this, 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 and this. I don't know who's in, who's out. And we meet later on this afternoon, and we'll get together in terms of putting a group out there.
There are reports out that Mathis has, like, an MCL sprain.
I have. He went for an MRI this morning. I have not met with Chris to DeLuca, and I'll meet with him after this. So I don't have confirmation of anything on either guy's injury right now.
You mentioned Malk as a possibility to kind of step in at guard if he needs to. Did you look at the film? How do you think he did?
Yeah, watch again. I thought he did a real good job. You know, it's really his first extensive action. He had never played it in a game, but he really held his own in there. He's a tough physical player, you know, and to get thrown into that, we've used him in practice and really on a limited basis from a practice standpoint. But he both him and Gardner did a nice job when they were in there for the entire second half. And in terms of fitting in where they probably hadn't been practicing. Gardner had been more of a left tackle for us, jumped in at right tackle, had taken reps there before, but and Moak taking reps at guard. So both those guys, I thought, considering the circumstances, did pretty well.
Chip, last season with Todd Herbert, you did not want to move him back over the tackle when there was an injury. Is that a consideration?
There was never a conversation last season about moving Todd.
No. When Jason got hurt, we asked why you put Allen in there.
Because Allen was the backup.
Yeah, so I'm saying, would you move Todd over?
I don't know anything about the offensive line. When I get all the information, then we'll do it. There's no reason for me to speculate on who's moving where. We haven't had a discussion on our side of the ball offensively to say who's doing what or anything. So we haven't had that discussion yet. So.
What did Dennis Kelly show you during the preseason?
Dennis played really, really well in the preseason. You know, and I think he's a year removed from his injury. And one of the guys that I think showed a real steady improvement as the preseason went along. So felt like he really solidified himself as a guard. I think we think in what we do schematically, he is a guard. But we were really happy with him. That's one of the reasons that we kept him, is he earned a spot on this team as an offensive lineman. So we're obviously today you're happy that you got a guy like Dennis around. So
after watching the tape, what do you think of special teams overall and Chris Marigo's performance?
I thought our special teams was obviously a little bit, you know, improved from where it was a year ago. You know, you had five touchbacks. And then the two kickoffs that were taken out, one was taken to the 13, the other one was taken to the 14. We excelled, I think, in the punt return, you know, obviously adding Darren back there. But I thought not only adding Darren back there, I thought we blocked it better. You know, our punt return team did a really, really good job. I think we had five punts down inside the 20-yard line. So, obviously, yeah, we did some good work there. We need a little work on kickoff return. You know, that needs to improve. But I thought Chris was a really good addition here in the offseason. Really takes a lot of pride in being a special teams player and stood out for us from that standpoint. So.
Back on Dennis, he practiced mostly at right guard throughout camp. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Did he take any left side snaps?
Yeah, they all take them every once in a while. But I mean, basically our second unit was Lane, Dennis, Mulk. Gardner was on the left side with Tobin. So, you know, that's usually for the predominant amount, that's the way it looked. But those guys have bounced around, whether it been a training session or whatever. Just the guys that were fighting for backup spots, we had to play them in a couple different positions so that they got some snaps in there. But his snaps were on the right side.
Do you think it's a hard transition if a guy like Dennis would have to play on the left side or Andrew would have to play on the right side? Would that be easier for them?
I think tackle's harder going right to left than guards are harder than going right to left.
Chip, you said this morning on the radio about Nick's performance after watching tape that you still wanted to talk to him and the other guys to find out what was he thinking in the pocket in terms of guys being open. How many times did you think that there were opportunities for them to throw the ball down the field?
I think there were a few opportunities in there, but it's all part of, you know, let's get with our guys. That's part of this whole process. We watch a film, we evaluate it, and it's easy when you're looking at it from this angle and that angle than it is what's like when you're in there. So we've always been that way. Let's sit down. What'd you see? Bill does a great job with that. What'd you see? What was your mindset here? Where were we going here? How were you in your progression? So there's a few opportunities we had to make plays, and we just didn't make them in the first half. But fortunately, we made them in the second half.
On the first first fumble, it looked like he was trying to go to O'Reilly initially before tucking it back on film. Could you tell what was that throw open?
It looked, I mean, it was close. There was pretty good coverage, but it was close.
What was your overall impression of the game after watching the film? Your situation at halftime wasn't as dire as it looked. I mean, you never want to be 17 points down, but then it wasn't quite as dire. It wasn't a systemic sort of breakdown. It was just execution.
It really was, and that's why halftime wasn't a major, hey, we have to overhaul this whole thing in terms of we took the wrong approach coming into this, and, you know, they're doing what we didn't expect them to do. It was really, they played kind of really right to the schedule in terms of what they were doing. They play a lot more zone than they play man. You know, most people had played us in more man than zone, but they stuck to their script in terms of what they do, and we knew their front four was a good front four. I talked about that last week. I thought that was the strength of their team and that they could generate a rush with their front four, and we had to be real sharp with that up front. So when you went in at halftime, it's just a matter of, hey, we got to take a deep breath. We got to settle down. This is what we're going to feature when we come out in the second half. A lot of it was what we had in the first half that we felt we were just a play off, a guy off, you know, a step here, give the quarterback a little bit more time or make sure we get through the progressions a little bit quicker, and then let's go see if we can get back in it. But I didn't think or feel, I think even in the game, that we were like, God, we're getting our tails blown off here and we don't have a shot at this thing. It's just, let's just settle down, let's do what we can do, and let's get back into this. But really wanted to play it one possession at a time. You know, you're not going to score 17 points in one play. You're just going to go out there and let's get a drive together, let's put something together. And obviously that run on fourth and one was a big spark for us and kind of get us jump started and say, all right, now we're back in this thing.
Presumably talking to Nick during the struggles yesterday, what was he saying then about what he was seeing and what was confusing him?
He was pretty straight on in terms of what was your decision here and where were you going with the ball. And, you know, I felt like the linebacker was taking away the in, and then as I got to my next progression, there was got moved a little bit in the pocket. So, you know, he was giving you the information, kind of wasn't anything where you were really confused with what he was saying. I think he was on point with what he was saying.
Do you think because of the tempo you practice that and the emphasis on fitness that you guys have the ability to wear people down late in games? You look at the Detroit game last year. It seems like there's been some games where a couple guys in the locker room last night said we felt like they were tired and we were fresh.
I think that's a byproduct of it. And a lot of times not preseason, but early in the season, it's going to help you, especially when it's hotter out. But that's one of the byproducts of how we train and what we feel like, you know, that we should be the best conditioned team out there. You know, it's just part of what we do and kind of what we take some pride in. So,
Jim, Billy shuffled in Wolf and Carroll. Is that because he wants to give the defense, the offense, different looks, or is it just because of the depth? Are you guys so comfortable playing those guys in those types of
we
spots?
Felt comfortable playing those guys in those spots. You know, I think we talked about, you know, obviously Fletch and Carey play a ton of snaps. Last year, you know, we talked about if we could get some more depth in the secondary. We rotate our defensive line. We've always done that. You know, and we've talked if we have players that we have the ability to rotate. Brandon Graham and Trent are a prime example of that. They did it last year. They did it again, real, I think, successfully yesterday. You know, it just keeps your other guys fresh, you know, and it gives those guys a chance to play. So the fact that we got Nolan to give us a chance to get a guy outside that can give us a little bit of depth, and then Earl, obviously, as he continues to come along. But it's not an indication of who's out there to begin with. It's just that we think we're gonna, if we got 40, you know, and I've always said it, you got 46 guys active, you're going to play all 46 guys if you can. That's why they're active, you know, so you can put them in a game. It doesn't help if we can't get them into a game, but this, a lot of it is the situation dictates it in terms of how we're going to get to it. So
Marcus Smith was stressed with didn't get any snaps.
Yeah.
We
felt BG right there was going to go in on both sides, and that's what he did. He played behind But give Connor a little bit of a blow and give Trent a little bit of a blow.
So Peters gave up a little pressure early on, and one of those sack fumbles looked like, you know, Clemens got by him. How did he grade out overall?
Jason did a nice job grading out overall. I think the one he had sack fumble was on a quick game, so obviously we held on to the ball a little bit too long. He's supposed to set a little bit quicker so we can get the ball off, and we just held on to the football a little bit too long on that one sack.
Chip, what did they do to kind of take the boy out of the game? When teams try to do that, what did you do?
They didn't do anything that they hadn't done before. They played an eight-man front and like they normally do. And, you know, LeSean had 21 carries. We rushed for, I think, 145 overall. But, you know, they obviously, if you're going to put guys that close to the line of scrimmage, you got to be able to throw the ball. And we had a lot of guys open deep over the top. So, you know, you got to be able to defend it all. But there wasn't anything out of the ordinary. And it wasn't anything that – I mean, we've seen a lot of other stranger things from other teams in last year in terms of trying to defend us, but that was, you know, kind of really kind of a vanilla look defense that they played against us.
I know the game plan is week to week, but is Sproles a guy you can see getting 10, 12 carries a week on the
inside? Sproles as a running back? That's a crazy concept.
You don't play, but that volume, if you look in his career, he hasn't had that volume of carries.
I know, and I've said since day one, I don't know why. I think he's an outstanding running back, so. You know, I think he proved it yesterday, and it's nothing that he hadn't proved from the first two or three days we saw him out here in the off-season program, is that he's really, really talented, and you got to find ways to get football in his hands. So.
You had him and LeSean on the field, I think, for like maybe a handful of snaps together and everything. Mm-hmm. What kind of dynamic do you think, you know, having the two of them out there?
I think it depends on how people defend you, and they only ran two defensive groups. When we were in 11 personnel, they were in nickel, and when we were in two tight ends, they were in base. So, you know, really didn't elicit much from them, and they weren't playing a ton of man. I think that's when you get some matchup situations that could be an issue for you. But they haven't been a big man operation. That's just Gus's MO, and they do a really good job of what they do from a zone standpoint. So, you know, that wasn't the game where you're going to get a lot of crazy matchups because we didn't see a lot of man coverage with those guys, and I think they were in zone both times those guys were on the field. So.
How's LeSean health-wise? Is he working through anything?
No, LeSean's fine.
How about Brandon Boykin? He was on the field 23 snaps or so yesterday.
Yeah, he was in a nickel, and it just they played a lot of 21 personnel and a lot of 12 personnel, so a lot of what Billy's calls on defense dictate what they're playing, and I think they tried to – I think a lot of it had to do – they only had four healthy receivers for the game. You know, they started two rookies out there, so I think they were trying to take some pressure off of them, so they were in a lot more big personnel than – I think they had shown even last year. They were a little bit more wide open last year. I think they were a little bit tighter this year, but I think it's probably an issue they were dealing with just from the receivers being hurt. With Shorts going out just before our game, you know, he got hurt sometime during the week and didn't even was on the DX. So I think it's just a really kind of that sometimes games play out that way. So.
Well, that said, I mean, the fact that you guys were in base an awful lot because of their personnel, would you like to have seen, of course you would like to have seen more pressure, but did – were you satisfied with the amount of pressure you were able to get with as much as you were in base?
Yeah, I thought we did a real good job of getting pressure on their quarterback. You know, how many times we moved him off his spot, how many times we hit him. You know, we got to his throwing arm like we always talk about, getting to the throwing arm. You know, Nate Allen did a nice job coming off the edge. Obviously, the play Trent made. But I thought we did a real good job of getting pressure yesterday.
Moving him around, if not hit.
Yeah, exactly.
Would you consider finding ways to get Brandon on the field more, even if the team's not going with three wides, maybe give him a series outside like you did with Nolan or you do with other guys?
Yeah, well, it really is how we practice, and he practices as our nickel corner, and it's a very, very vital position for us. Billy said that that's a starting position for us. I say that's a starting position for us. So, you know, that's kind of where it is. Our third corner outside right now is Nolan. So.
How did Fletcher Cox play?
Fletcher played really well. Real productive game out of him. Obviously was a real – real big problem for them in the run game. I thought he did a great job, especially when they ran the ball away from him, pursuing, two-gapping, cutting plays off. Was a very, very active player all day long and, you know, finished it with the fumble recovery that probably should have hook slide, you know, and just finished the game out. But, you know, a really, really productive day out of Fletch and really happy for him.
You talked about there were opportunities for Macklin downfield in the first half. When you guys finally hit on it, Nick was out of the pocket, had a play fake, and he got is that the little – you're talking about the little kind of changes you can make to a play.
Yeah, Nick wasn't out of the pocket by design. Their defensive end just hit a big stunt hard inside. That wasn't a roll or anything. That was just a
–
no.
As a follow-up on Mathis, you said on the radio this morning it doesn't seem like a season ender.
That's what they told me yesterday, but I haven't got any MRI reports. I'll get that after this meeting. So.
But yesterday the news was encouraging relatively, would you say? Or?
No, they just said they didn't think it was his ACL and that would be a season ender. So that's all I was told yesterday. They thought it was his MCL and they were going to send him for an MRI.
You don't have the specifics, but can you just talk more generally about the importance of continuity on an offensive line and the challenges that come up when there's a
I think anytime you can get the same guys playing next to each other, no matter if it's any position, quarterback and receiver, if it's always the same quarterback, always the same receiver, I think that's just a general philosophy that everybody kind of adheres to, just because they're on the same page, they spent a lot of time together, they've trained together, they've got a feel for each other, and they got a real good understanding of what this guy's going to do when this happens, because we've seen it 17 times and it's not the first time that they saw it. So anytime you can have continuity, I think that's a bonus, but obviously the injuries are part of the game, and if you don't have it, then next guy's got to go in. And I thought Gardner and Molk did a good job when they went in there. So
what did you think about Gardner in the camp and in the preseason?
We'd like, obviously, like his versatility. I think he is a guard tackle combination guy. He's got great flexibility. Really, really smart player. So his ability to pick up what we did. I know Coach Stoutland, you know, mentioned that, you know, a couple days into it. This guy's got a real good feel for the game. Real smart, real smart, intelligent football player. So, you know, didn't think he was going to be pressed into action in game one, but we're happy we got him.
Are you aware of the kind of ongoing potential change in the drug policy that might impact Blaine being able to get on the field?
I haven't. I mean, I think you guys, not you guys, but I think people have written about that. We haven't, from where we're standing, we haven't heard there's going to be any changes in what's currently happened, but I don't know. I mean, I really don't.
Do you have someone that looks into it and gets back to you any information?
They tell us, yeah, when the rules change, they tell us. But, again, there's no – doesn't help me at all to sit there and say, you know, hey, I heard this is going to happen, so let's not worry about the Colts. Let's wait about and listen to this. So it's – if it happens
– I guess Blaine's in Texas, right? I mean, that's where he's working out right now.
Yeah.
So you guys are you still able to maintain communication with him?
No, we haven't had any communication since he left.
So is it on him then to, if there's going to be a change that could get him on the field to get here as
quickly? I think you're reaching in something that we've never had a conversation about, so.
Hurts played, I think, more snaps than he did in any game last year. Is that a product of his development and what you guys see trying to get him on the field, or was that more of what you thought you could do in terms of going against the Jaguars?
It's both, and I've said it since day one. What are they going to do when we put this personnel package in? If we can get them in base more and we can throw the ball a little bit more, you get a chance to get a DB out of the game, you know. So it's also a combination, just like I said, it's both, because Ertz has the ability to play a couple of different positions. At this time last year, he was really just thinking about being either the front side tight end or the backside tight end. Now, if you saw him, he played out wide, he played in the slot, he lined up at tight end. So I think it's a product of him knowing and understanding a lot more about what we're doing, and then also what getting him in the game elicits from the defensive responsibility.
He played wide at Stanford, and you guys talked about that early when you drafted him. Why not as much last year? Because he didn't want to put too much on his plate in terms of having to learn some of
the ground. Well, you got to learn one position first. So it's, you know, it doesn't help to say, all right, we got you here. Now you learned this. Let's move you here. Let's get you comfortable. And, you know, he's a tight end. And he didn't – I don't think he played wide very often. They split him out occasionally at Stanford. And he was successful there. But it wasn't – that wasn't his main deal. He was a tight end and a very good tight end. Obviously, that's why we took him in the second round. So,
Chris Paul practiced yesterday or all week and was inactive yesterday. Was it just a hamstring, or were you comfortable?
Yeah, it's his hamstring, and he wasn't ready to go full. You know, when we worked him out again on Saturday, and that's why I get the question on Friday, like, where are you from a schedule? We don't really know. Didn't really know till Sunday morning. Get a chance to get him on the field and see exactly how he feels. But if he's up, he's going to play. So it's not one of those. We just didn't feel comfortable that, you know, hey, let's go up. Let's see if he can do something. Again, because your roster is so limited on game day, if he could went up and play two snaps and is out, then we can't go change him out at that point in time. So, you know, we just felt after talking to him in pregame that he couldn't go full. And for that reason, we were going to sit him, and then we had Trey in there. So.
Thanks, guys.